Good evening. Welcome to church. Hallelujah. Thanks for coming out on this smoky evening. Amen. Wow. Stand if you're able. And let's invite the Lord tonight. Can we do that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name, recognizing once again that it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. So, Lord, we welcome you, Holy Spirit, in this place.
Holy Spirit.
Lord, we pause. We lay everything at your feet. Lord, we are still for a moment. Be still and know that I am God once again. Lord, and we ask that you would just have your way. Open our ears to hear your voice, O God. And be glorified in our praises tonight, yes, Lord. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We serve a mighty God. Amen.
And I had them go up and down just a few more times, but I was nice to you guys.
Wow.
Hello.
Hello.
How is everybody?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Doing good. All y'all. So I just wanted to have a little shout out. Congratulations to Bill. That is a big deal. That is a big deal. Okay, so, reminders, this Saturday, 8 o'clock, potluck breakfast here, men and women, and then outdoors, in your gloves, with your tools for cleanup, okay? Our first monthly working hands and hearts for God's house, okay? All right, bring it. Okay, so, you know, Pastor preached this morning about our purpose. This is part of our purpose.
Amen.
Is to maintain God's house. And when it's not maintained, people outside, they say, well, I don't want to go over there. That place is a mess. Honestly. Yes. I said before, we don't keep our own homes this way. So we don't keep this house this way either. Okay? All right. So, want to remind everybody that, about the service for Reverend John Waller. That's on Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Winston Assembly of God Church. Okay? Okay? There's a poster there on the back table. There's also some little handouts if you need one. Okay? All right.
We're good. Okay.
All right.
Sorry.
All right. You're laughing. Okay, you're laughing. Okay. Okay. He always has a really good excuse for that. All right. Okay, so back to John. Okay, so Julie's calling this the old-fashioned Oklahoma celebration of life. Music, singing, stories about John, okay? Our worship team is going to be there. I said that this morning. No sadness, no tears, only tears of happiness, tears of joy, okay? And there's a potluck supper afterwards, so bring something along for that, okay? Winston Assembly of God at 2 o'clock on Saturday. And the next Monday night, not tomorrow night, but the week from tomorrow night, is Level Up class. So any of you ladies who are participating in that program, that's a week from tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. And then that's it. I didn't know if I showed you guys. This is the little handout for John's service right here. Has a little program inside. Has his verse on the outside, abundantly, exceedingly abundantly able to do above what we can ask or think. Yeah, that was his verse. Ever, never forget that one. So anyway, want to try and make that if you can, okay? So our regular services now for the rest of the week are Tuesday night is Grief Share at 6 o'clock, and then our midweek Bible study at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night. We also have youth at 6 o'clock upstairs, okay? And then Thursday morning, 10 o'clock, is Women to Women's Bible Study. And then next Friday evening, 6:30, is for men only. And then that's going to round out Saturday for the cleanup day. So we have a full week. Okay. All right. So let's say hi to everybody, and we'll come back in a minute with more music.
Let's worship the King, 'cause your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me when I am surrounded. Your love carries me. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
His love makes us sing, it should, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Sometimes the enemy convinces us that we're not. That we're not good enough. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. This talks about that. Voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. Such a liar. Am I more than just a sum?
Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low?
My God says I am better. Hallelujah.
Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
Yeah. You have every failure, God. You have every victory. Won't you just tell them how much you love them tonight? Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you. We thank you, God. You are great, and we worship you. Mighty, mighty God, we worship you. Mighty Lord. We bow before your throne. We bow before your throne. We bow before your throne. We bow.
Before you.
special God, we adore you, God. Lord, we just bask in your embrace. Hallelujah, the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We praise you. You alone are worthy, alone.
This place tonight. We glorify you, Lord. We lift you up. Lord, you said in your word that if you would be lifted up, that you would draw all men unto you. And so, Lord, tonight we desire to lift you up, to exalt you, to glorify you, to place you solidly, Lord, on the throne that only you can inhabit. I exalt you. You're high and lifted up. Your glory fills the temple. We worship you, O God. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Thank you, Jesus. The opportunity to bow before your throne to exalt you, to lift you up, to worship you, God, in spirit and in truth. Lord, I pray tonight, as we have worshiped you, Lord, that our hearts would be prepared for the planting of the seed of your word. God, that we wouldn't leave here without having direction, without having been in your presence, without having heard something from your throne. God, we worship you tonight. We exalt you. We praise you. We're humbled by your presence. And we thank you tonight, God, for who you are and what you've called us to do. And I thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, ushers. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for this offering. I pray you bless it. I pray that you multiply it. I pray that it would draw people to your presence and to your side and to your church, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you go to our website, harvestca.org, on the far right of the menu bar across the top of our site, you will see the Give button. Clicking on that button will take you to the page with the section titled How We Give. You will be presented with several ways that you can donate to the church. As always, you can give using an envelope during the offering we take up at each service at church. The second option, Tithely, which is actually an app you can download on your phone. The third option is by clicking on the green Give Now button, you can make an online donation directly from this webpage. Quickly and securely, you can fill out the page and give from there.
Stretch your hands this way, church. Lord God, I thank you again for the generosity of your people. I thank you for a willingness to give to your work and to your kingdom, to what you're doing, what you're going to do. Lord, that one day, some way, somehow, all of Myrtle Creek will know that Jesus is Lord. Lord, because of the faithfulness and the generosity of your people, the increase of your kingdom, because you bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thanks, worship team. Amen. Yes, sir. Who is? Eugene, you mean? One of the greeters at the door? Oh, Eugene. Is that still on? Okay. Yes, sir. What's his name? Who else? Oh, yeah? Okay. Bob and Janice weren't here this morning either. Mavis is homesick. What? Oh, yeah, Terry wasn't here either. Wow. Dave and Dolores weren't here today. Any word on them? Antonio, your mom and dad. Or Bill. I saw Anthony and said Bill. Never mind. Oh, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Wow. That's a lot of sick. That's a lot of sick. I'm just going to read what I wrote down. I didn't write everybody down, so God knows who they are. Amen. Kayla, Randy, Jan, Carolyn, Mickey, Mavis, Ray for addictions, Bob and Janice Swan, Dave and Dolores, Tammy for surgery, Willie, Terry, Greg and Elizabeth, Iris, Silas. I forgot some, I'm pretty sure of it, but God knows who they are, amen? So Lord, we just simply lift all these to you tonight, and we ask God that you would intervene. Lord, that you would do what only you can do. You can set captives free, you can heal the sick, you can make the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to talk. And God, you can bind cancer and cast it out in the name of Jesus. We thank you for doing that. Lord, I pray for backs that are miraculously healed in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, for addiction to be broken in the name of Jesus. That the blood of Jesus would wash everyone in Jesus' name. Every addiction gone. Lord, we thank you for it. We give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name for all these things. And everybody said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for his word this morning. I didn't really get to elaborate much on the last point. And so tonight, I have 5 pages on the last point. And I didn't put anywhere near all of it down. I just hit the high spots. But I believe with all of my heart that God wants us not only to discover and to develop what the call of God is in our life. But once we come to that place, if we don't stay the course, If we don't stay on task, if we don't stay in what God has called us to do, then we're in real trouble. And so tonight I want to talk to you about when the student is ready. It's an old proverb that says when the student is ready, the teacher will show up. When the student is ready, when the student discovers who it is he or she serves, then the developmental part of that begins, and our calling, we have to stay in that calling, whether you're in here or out there. In fact, it's more important out there than it is in here. So several scriptures have been brought to mind when dealing with this topic of staying in our calling, staying ready as a student. How many of you know tonight, every one of us are called to be a student of the gospel, of the Word of God. We're called to be students of that. We're called to study. The Bible says that we are to study to show ourselves approved, a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what you do when you're a student. And in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't lose heart." Let that sink in for a second. I said this morning, but I'm saying it again tonight, that the Lord had a special work for Saul to do. The Hebrew of the Hebrews would become the apostle to the Gentiles. The persecutor would become the preacher. The legalistic Pharisee would become a great proclaimer of the grace of God. Can I tell you something tonight? When you know how bad you've been, and when the grace of God begins to be applied to your life, all of a sudden the grace of God really becomes manifest. It really becomes something of great value in your life, because you know where you used to be. You know what He's brought you and I from, and now all of a sudden the grace of God is so precious. The legalistic Pharisee would become the great proclaimer of the grace of God, but now he would become a vessel of honor. He become the Lord's tool to preach the gospel in those regions and far beyond. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16, it says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because He counted me faithful, putting me into ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant. And with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus," this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, "that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life." Can I just tell you that the Apostle Paul was Exhibit A. He was Exhibit A to prove that the gospel of the grace of God really works. It really works. If it doesn't work, we are all in trouble. If the grace of God is not true, we're in trouble. But when you read Paul's testimony, you can read this story of his conversion in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 22. You can read about it again in chapter 22, verses 1 through 21. You can read about it again in chapter 26, verses 9 through 18. Three times Paul tells this story. You know how I've told you and told you and told you and told you and told you every one of you have a message? I've told every one of you time and time again that you can preach the gospel just like I can or anybody else can because you have a testimony. When you read those three passages of Scripture, what you'll find out is all Paul was doing was telling his testimony. He was telling his story. And you can do the same thing that Paul did. And when you read this story, you begin to grasp the wonder of the grace of God, and you begin to understand the saving power that only comes through Jesus Christ. And we have to remember that Paul wasn't saved just for the sake of being saved. Paul didn't purchase a fire insurance plan like I referenced this morning. Paul was sanctified and set free for a purpose. There was a specific call on the life of Paul, just as there is, in fact, a specific call on every one of our lives tonight. Every one of you have a call, a specific call, a God-ordained call. You've been wired to address the call that God has placed on your life. You have been wired. Some of us have been wired for 220. Some of us are still in 110. I thought about eating one of them nitro pills just to get me wound up good this morning. You know what I'm saying? I thought that might help me get along. I didn't need it. At the end of the day, I didn't need it. In my message this morning, we found what it is to discover and to develop, but to stay in our calling is a whole nother deal. To stay in our calling is a whole nother deal. We need to stay in our calling. We need to stay in our calling. We do need to discover it. You can't stay in something that you don't know what it is. And so you need to discover what your calling is. And we do need to develop what's been delivered to us, and we need to stay where we are when we're called. We need to stay in that calling. And so when we remain steadfast in our calling, we align ourselves then with God's timing and with God's purpose. And when you find out all those things and you stay in your calling, when God needs you, He can just tap you. Football coaches do it all the time. They got one guy sitting over there. He don't do anything, but he's got one job to do. And when it's his job, when it's his play, he's super good at that play. And when it's time to run that play, the coach taps that guy. Somebody comes out of the game. That guy goes in. They run that play. And oftentimes it results in 6 points on the board. When God is ready to call you off the bench, Larry, and put you in the game, if you're ready, He's going to call you. If you're not ready, he won't call you because you're not ready. And so He's calling every one of us to find that place and remain steadfast in our calling and align ourselves with God. Every moment of obedience strengthens our character. Every moment of our obedience strengthens our character. It equips us for greater responsibility. It allows the work of God to be carried out through us. Listen, you can be a part of things that are eternal. Think about that. I mean, we sometimes dilute it down, Mike, to just filling the chairs in the church. To get Myrtle Creek saved. And I want to get Myrtle Creek saved. Don't get me wrong. I want to get Myrtle Creek saved. But you know what I really want to do? I want to really impact eternity. I want names to be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life that will be in the Lamb's Book of Life for all eternity, Ralph. I want it to be crowded. I want it to be standing room only, but it ain't going to be. It's a big place. I've read about it. It's a big, big place. with lots and lots of rooms. It's a big, big house. That's a...
Woo!
Wow! That was awesome! Good job! Woo! That's what I'm talking about. It's a big, big house. We need to stay in our calling. Jesus stayed in his calling. Remember when he said, listen, I got to go to the cross. Peter said, not on my watch. That ain't happening. And what? Jesus didn't even let Peter get in the way. He rebuked Peter. He said, how would you get behind me, Satan? I got news for you. That got Peter's attention. I promise you. We need to discover it. We need to develop what has been delivered to us. We need to stay where we are when we're called. Every moment of obedience strengthens our character. Our character needs to be strengthened. Every moment of obedience equips us for greater responsibility. Every moment of obedience strengthens and allows the work of God to be carried out through us. Church, staying in our calling requires faith and patience and trust in His guidance. And through all of that, you and I will witness His faithfulness, will experience His provision, and we will see the impact of our lives on other people. Think about that. What do you want your life to do? Do you want for your life to impact other people? If you do, then you better start letting your light shine. You better start walking in the calling and stay in the calling that God has placed in your life. It's not always easy, but it will always be worthwhile because God's calling never returns void. God has a call. God's word goes out, and when God sends out his word, it says it won't return void. It's going to accomplish what he set it out to do. Now, you can refuse it, and you can reject it, and you can say, I ain't doing it. But God's word is going to accomplish what he set it out to do. By embracing it fully, we participate in the unfolding of his kingdom, and our life becomes a testimony of his great grace and power. I love it when people acknowledge who I used to be and that I'm not that guy anymore. I love that. I love that. Every time you and I face a challenge, we the process will teach you and I how to endure. It molds our heart and it deepens our reliance on Him. I'm totally reliant upon God. Every time we get in this pulpit, whether it's me or Tim or Bill or Ray or whoever it might be, if we're not completely reliant upon the Holy Spirit of God and His Word, we are blowing it. Staying in our calling is not just about what we do, but about who we become in Christ as we walk with Him the path that He has prepared for us. It's kind of like riding a two-seater bicycle. We want to be in the front seat. And because Jesus is all-powerful, we want Him on the back seat. You just pedal. I'll drive. How many of you know Jesus can supply the same power from the front seat and take you and I on a far greater adventure than we could ever go on? We need to give Him the reins. We need to submit to Him control over the journey. Remember, it's not so much about the destination, although it is about the destination, but really it's about us getting there. It's about the journey that gets us to that place. Staying in our calling reminds us that God's plan is bigger than my understanding. Hello? Staying in our calling reminds us that God's plan is bigger than our understanding. How many of you have ever come across things in God's Word that you went, I don't understand that, Lord. But by faith, whether I understand it or not, I believe it. I believe it. God revealed to me, because the Bible says if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God in James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give you the wisdom. He will tell you what it is. He will explain to you in your spirit what that is. He will help you to understand. You don't have to go through life ignorant of the things of God. Now, when I say ignorant, I'm not being ugly. It just means you're unlearned. That's all that means. So don't throw stuff at me. Staying in our calling encourages us to persevere even when the path is unclear or the results are not immediately. Remember this morning I mentioned to you the prophet Jeremiah. He's known as the weeping prophet. At age 20, in the year 627 before Christ, 627 years before Christ showed up, God told Jeremiah that he was going to be a prophet. Not just a prophet, his prophet. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. Then said I, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord.'" Jeremiah objected because he was too young. But God said, "Don't say it. Don't say I'm an only child. You got to go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Don't be afraid of them, for I'm with you and I'll rescue you." Maybe somebody's hearing that from the Lord. They're saying, God's saying, "I want you to do this. I want you to do that." You're saying, "I'm unlearned. I'm too young. I'm too old." You're not any of that. While given this promise, Jeremiah also received a warning. His ministry would be one of judgment and punishment. He would be hated and unpopular. But out of the anguish, God would bring a new hope. And today he says, "I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." And Jeremiah was imprisoned. His life was threatened. His words were constantly rejected by God's people. But he kept preaching and he kept telling them over and over and over. He never saw one apple. He never saw any fruit from all that God told him. And he did what God told him to do. He was obedient. He stayed in his lane. He stayed the course. He stayed in the calling regardless. Was it 40 years? For 40 years, nothing. I'm afraid we're not that steadfast in our calling. Because when we don't see things happening, sometimes, probably more often than not, we take matters into our own hands, we change things up, we do things different, all these kinds of things, when we did not hear to do that from God. I've been preaching to these people forever, and they,
You just do what God tells you to do and let Him handle the results. Jeremiah did not see one life changed by his faithfulness to the call of God, but he stayed in his calling. He stayed. Exactly. What Mike said was God called us to be like him and stay like because he was obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. No matter what, by remaining committed, we reflect God's faithfulness to others, and we become then vessels of his hope and his love and his truth in a world that desperately needs it. Not just a little bit, but desperately needs it. No matter what season you find yourself in, whether a season of waiting, a season of learning, or a season of serving, you are doing it for a purpose. There is a purpose behind it. I did a memorial service for Dan Martin yesterday at Garden Valley Church. And Dan and I go way back. We were good friends. He was my employer. I worked for him for several years. I've been on fishing trips with him. I've done all kinds of crazy things with him. And I preached a salvation message at that memorial service yesterday, and I gave an altar call. To my dismay, every person in that place was saved. Every one of them. And I know them. And without judging, but just by looking at their fruit, thinking there maybe should have been some hands that went up, and I challenged them. I challenged them because hell is eternal. Just like heaven is eternal. And we have to speak the truth, whether it's popular or whether it's not. Every step, no matter how small, contributes to the greater work that He is accomplishing. That's why discovering and developing and staying in our calling is vital. It allows God to begin to shape us. How many of you have read the scripture that says, He's the potter, I'm the clay? We sing the song, don't we? Mold me and make me after thy will. You are the potter, I'm the clay. You know what happens when a potter is in St. George, we had a lady that did pottery stuff and went to her house and she made some of the most beautiful things. It was amazing. And she let us try that. That ain't as easy as it looks. Just sit there and spin that thing around, and you touch it wrong one time, man, and that thing is. You know what happens when they do that? They just pound it all down into a big clump and start over. Just imagine God just pounding you down into a big glob and starting over. It's what happens. It's what happens. We have to allow Him to shape us and use us and allow Him to glorify His name through our life. If we'll stay in our calling, we will inspire others to seek to fulfill their calling. Our faithfulness then becomes a light that begins to point others towards God's guidance and God's grace. Our true calling is not just about recognition. It's not just about reward. It's about obedience. It's about trust in the one that called us. Am I being obedient to God? Ultimately, staying in our calling is about faithfulness over time. I said it before, for 40 years, Jeremiah stayed faithful to the call of God. Over time, perseverance over faithfulness over time, perseverance over convenience. If it's not convenience, if it's not convenient to the church today, we ain't doing it. For the most part. If it's not convenient. And then trusting God, even when the path seems uncertain. When he told Abraham to leave his family, where did he tell him to go? Anybody? He didn't tell him anything. He just said, go. Well, where? Just go. What in the world? Trusting God, even when the path seems uncertain. Take your son, your only son, to the hill and sacrifice him. You said that through this child was going to be all these generations, and now you want me to kill him. Never missed a step. Marched right up that hill, and he told the boys down at the bottom of the hill, he said, listen, he said, me and the lad will be back. We're going to go worship. We'll be back. That's a statement of faith. That wasn't a statement of faith. That was a declaration of faith. And when they're up there and he's got the kid bound up, tied up with a rope and on the altar, and Isaac says, I see the fire and I see the altar, I see all the stuff, but where's the sacrifice? He said, well, God will provide. And as he pulled the knife out and got ready to plunge it into his son, God provided. There was a ram. I just think that that's amazing. I think it's fascinating. He knew what God had said, and he knew that God's not a liar, and he knew that Isaac was going to be the fulfillment of the promise that God had given Abraham and Sarah. And he never batted an eye. It's a lifelong pursuit of walking in alignment with the purpose that he has designed for you and I, allowing his wisdom to guide our decisions and his love to motivate our actions. Staying in our calling is not just about fulfilling a role. It's about living a life that echoes God's heart. It's about living a life that impacts generations. You do the math, it was what, 627 years before Christ. We're now at 2025 years after Christ. You do the math. We're still talking about Jeremiah today. We're still talking about him. His life has impacted generations. Go back further than that. We're talking about Abraham and Isaac. We talk about all those things. Why? Because they walked in their calling and they weren't just fulfilling a role. And because of that, their life impacted generations and left a legacy that is rooted in obedience, faith, and love. Isn't that amazing? Staying in our calling challenges us to remain humble, to challenges us to be teachable and sensitive to God's leading at every stage of your life, every stage of your ministry. If you ever come to the place where you're not teachable, you're in real trouble. You're in real trouble. We're not called, however, to compare ourselves to others. I do it a lot. I'm trying not to. I'm way better than I used to be, but I used to always compare myself to other people. Because all my life I've tried to measure up. All my life I've tried to be to please people. The most important person in my life to please was my dad. I tried everything. I did everything. I was a good worker. I was a hard worker. I did all those things. I did everything I could to please my dad, and I never did. Until when he was on his deathbed. And I believe on his deathbed when he, because I was in youth ministry at the time, and my dad was in the VA in Roseburg. He had cancer. He had a tumor growing between his heart and his lungs, and it just crowded the life out of him. And I begged my dad to come to the Lord. He wouldn't do it. I gave him my Bible. I said, read it. I literally begged him. And, you know, my dad was pretty old school. And he said, well, these are the tracks I've been set on. I'm just going to ride this train to the end. I said, well, I got news for you. There's a junction in the train. There's a junction in the track. There's a switch box in the track. You don't have to stay on this course. Well, it's the hand I've been dealt. I'm just going to play it out. I said, well, what you don't understand is that Jesus Christ is your ace in the hole. And if you'll just play your ace card, you're going to win the game. He refused. But a hospice chaplain, I don't know how he did it. I don't know what he said. I don't know anything about it, but I know a hospice chaplain changed my dad's mind. And my dad gave his heart to the Lord in that VA in Roseburg. And I walked in there, and it was just the week before he passed away. And when I walked in the room, that chaplain was in there, and I walked in, and my dad, all he could say was, "Minister, minister." And then my dad had a smile, and my dad smiled. And in that moment, I knew that I had achieved at least one thing in my life, and that was my dad's approval. And I believe he's waiting for us on the other side. I've diligently tried to please everybody my whole life. I want to inspire people. Everything that we do, every path is marked by challenges and by triumphs and by learning and by growth and by service and by witness. Every path. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God prepared them beforehand, and he expects you and I to walk in them. They don't have a thing to do with your salvation, but God's just got some things for us to do, whether you like it or not. He's got some things for us to do. People become Christians through God's undeserved favor, his grace, not as a result of your effort, your ability, your intelligent choices, your personal characteristics, not even your acts of service. Out of gratitude for this free gift as a believer, we ought to seek to do good things, to help and to serve others with kindness and with love and with gentleness. That's what Jesus would do. We're to be imitators of Christ, aren't we? We need to be loving on people. Then there's this one in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." Do you know that God has a future for you? He has a hope for you. He has a job for you. He has a calling on your life. God knows the future, and His plans for you and I are good plans, and they're plans that are filled to overflowing with hope. And as long as God, who knows the future, provides our agenda and goes with us as we fulfill His mission, we have boundless hope. Listen, this doesn't mean that we'll be spared pain. Doesn't mean that we're going to be spared suffering, or even hardship for that matter. But what it does mean is that God will see us through to a glorious conclusion. God will see us through. It might get rough. The water might be doing this when the disciples were in the boat on the Sea of Galilee that night, and it was dark, and the Bible says that the sea was boisterous. And what that means is that the waves were crashing, and it was an ugly night to be on a sea, even for a bunch of veteran fishermen. It was a bad night to be on the water. And man, they were in that boat. And they were rowing with everything that they had. And they were fighting against the waves. And they weren't getting anywhere. They were in the dark. They were in a storm. And they were alone. And one of them said, "Isn't that Jesus?" And they said, "Jesus, is that you?" And he said, "Yeah, it's me." You know what they said? "Get in the boat." You know what happened when Jesus got in the boat? The Bible says instantly they were where they were going. They were in the dark. They were scared. They were alone. And they were losing the battle. And Jesus got in the boat. When they invited him in the boat went to the shore. When Jesus gets in your life, he can provide power you never even dreamed of. I mean, they're struggling, they're fighting, they're doing everything. Jesus, all he did was get in the boat. Bam, the boat is on shore. I imagine they beached that thing just. As long as God, who knows the future, provides our agenda and goes with us as we fulfill His mission, we have boundless hope. There's an old proverb. I started with this. I'll close with it. The old proverb says that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. See, God brings the right lessons. He brings the right teachers. He brings the right opportunities into our lives exactly when we are prepared to receive them. Here's the deal. The teacher is waiting, but only a heart that is ready will recognize the lesson. The teacher's waiting, but only a heart that is ready will recognize the lesson. So here's the question. Will you be the student? Will you be the student? I hated school. Kids aren't in here, are they? Liam ain't under the deal, is he? Because that little gripper loves school, man. I hated school. I hated everything about school. I was not a studier. I just wasn't a good student. Period. I was in trouble. I did really good in shop class. I did pretty good in PE. But academia, not so much. I wasn't a good student. But I'd like to think that now, as an old man, that God is teaching me how to be a good student, a learner. And He shows up and He teaches, and I learn. You're never too old to learn. That's what I'm learning. I'm learning that God's grace is sufficient for me and for you. I'm learning that God has a plan and a purpose. I'm learning that if you'll say yes to God, He'll begin the process in you. And when he does, stay the course. Stay the course. Stay in your purpose that God has prepared you for. Amen. Bow your heads with me tonight. Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for this message. I thank you for everything about this message, its origins, its truth, its impact, and its process. I thank you that it's not just another message, but it's a challenge to the church. We've got to come to the place where we discover and we develop and we stay in our calling. That we would be effective for God's kingdom. Lord, I pray over every person here. I pray over every person tonight watching by way of the internet. I know there's people that are watching tonight that have struggles and challenges in their life. I know it. I pray that as they become the student, that God begins to speak to their heart, and little by little, change begins to take place. And one day we wake up and we recognize, I'm not who I used to be. My God has done a great work. Lord, I pray that you would enrich our lives. I pray that you would help us to be the students that you've called us to be. Lord, that you would be the teacher. Lord, help us to be the clay, and that you would be the potter in our life. Lord, I pray that you'd bring to our remembrance what we talked about this morning, what we've talked about here tonight. God, don't let us just let it go in one ear and out the other. Help us, Lord, to be who you've called us to be and to do what you've called us to do, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. Sorry I kept you so late. Blame God. Have a great rest of your night. Have a great rest of your week. We'll see you on Wednesday night right here. God bless you. Thanks for joining us by way of the internet tonight. We appreciate it. God bless you. God go with you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus.